1 Corinthians chapter 10. As we look at, if you recall a couple weeks ago, I gave the introduction to the sermon that was on the call to worship. We're doing a small series on the various aspects of our worship and why they are a part of our order of service. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at the call to worship and what that means. As we have the sacraments before us this morning, we're taking time to look at specifically the Lord's Supper and the some of the benefits that we get from it and what it symbolizes and what it we are doing, not just on as we worship God, but also in our relationship to one another and what this sacrament means. So we'll be looking specifically at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17, but I'm going to read from 14 to 22 as we begin this morning. Hear now the living word of God. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 to 22. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons, and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? May the Lord add a blessing to His word. Well, this morning in our Sunday school class, it was a chiasm was talked about. It was the question was asked: do we know what a chiasm is? Do we know what a chiastic structure is? And for those of you who have been here for a few years, you hear me talk about them from time to time. And I'm going to borrow an illustration that I thought was really good from Pastor Mark Lockridge, who was here last year. And during the week at our Presbytery camp last summer, he gave an illustration for what a chiasm is. And it spoke to me because it deals with food. And I found it to be quite helpful. You can think about a chiasm as a sandwich. A sandwich has two pieces of bread. And then under the bread, you've got some other fixings and toppings. But what you have in the middle of that sandwich is usually a nice slab of meat. That's the heart of the sandwich. And that's really what a chiasm is. It's a literary structure, a literary device, where an author will take parallel ideas, and that's like your bread on the outside. And then the next section will also have parallel ideas, and that's kind of your stuff that's still good. But really at the center of it is the meat. And that's the emphasis. That's what the author is trying to get at. And as we consider the passage that I just read, verses 14 through 22, there is a small chiastic structure there. Alternating ideas at the beginning of the end, working their way to really our text this morning that deals with us as a body, us as partaking of one bread. So the thrust of what Paul is doing in this letter is he is emphasizing our unity as the body of Christ as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we partake of the bread, the table that is offered, as we partake of the cup that is offered. So in this text, Paul is emphasizing not only our union to Christ, but our union to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So the application that I want us to come away with, what I want us to remember as we come away this morning and as we partake of the sacrament in a few moments, is for you and I to remember that we are united to Christ and to one another. That we are united to Christ and to one another. So first of all, remember, you are united to Christ. As we see in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. This one bread that Paul is speaking about here, it's the bread in verse 16, where he says, the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? This bread that we break, this one loaf, this one bread. He also says at the beginning of chapter 10, going all the way back to verse 3, where he says, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. Now, as we consider these verses before us, and I'll just pause real quick because you may hear my voice cutting in and out. We had an issue with the clip of the normal mic that I use. This is our backup. So I'm going to actually turn off my mic because I find that it's easier for me just to try to project than to have kind of distraction of my voice going in and out. So back to our text this morning. Paul begins chapter 10 by saying, for I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. You know, that spiritual food there that is being talked about at the beginning of the chapter. It's that manna that came down from heaven. But as Jesus teaches us in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 31 and following, that manna of old pointed to Him. That bread that came down from heaven was not given to the people through Moses, but it was God's provision. And it was a bread that pointed to who Jesus is, who the Christ would be. He is that bread of life. That when we partake of, that we have eternal life. I mean, people, as he taught them, often didn't really understand him. I mean, we think of the woman at the well as far as water is concerned, and they hear him talking about this bread or this water that gives eternal life, and they ask him, well, give us this bread, or give us this water so that we won't thirst anymore. They thought of it in a physical term, but what Jesus is saying is that his body that would be broken for his people is the bread of life. That when we partake of it, we have life in him. Now in verse 16 of chapter 10, Paul says that this bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? But later in verse 20, he talks about how the Israelites of old and pagan nations, when they would make sacrifices to idols, I mean, these idols are just little statues made of wood and stone. They have no life in them at all. So the sacrifices that were being made, in one sense, were being made to absolutely nothing. Because those idols are nothing. But Paul also points out in this text in verse 20 that those sacrifices were in fact being made to something, but it wasn't to God. That behind those idols was a real spiritual power, but it was not God. It was demons. People were worshiping demons and sacrificing to demons. Only demons would demand of their followers the burning and slaughter of their children on their altars. Something that God says didn't even enter his mind to ask. And just stop and consider that for a moment. The religious ritual of sacrificing their children to their gods is something that the eternal creator of heaven and earth, in his infinite wisdom and mind, never once thought to ask of his people. But that's what these demons demand. And it reminds us that behind our idols is not just some benign thing. That the core of our idols, it's a worship of ourselves. It's a worship of demonic forces. This word, participate, could also be translated as having fellowship with, sharing, almost like a partnership with. And it's a word that speaks to our intimate union that we have with Christ. And Paul is pointing out that it is through this blood, this shed blood, it is through this bread that is broken, the broken body of Jesus, that we have this participation in Christ. That we have this fellowship with Christ. That we have this partnership, this union to our Lord Jesus Christ. This sacrament, as we can see here, this bread that is before us, is a sacramental symbol of Christ's body. This cup that is before us is a sacramental symbol of His shed blood. And it reminds us of what our Lord did, that we might be united to Him. In 1 John 4:10, he talks about how Jesus is the propitiation that God has given. And the word propitiation is not a word that we often hear. It's a word that deals with not just simply removing the wrong that was done, but it's a complete satisfaction of the anger towards the wrong that was done. When a sacrifice is a propitiation, it is the removal of a wrong done to a deity and also a satisfaction of that anger that deity had towards the one who did wrong. Now, all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, this blood of bulls and goats that the author of the Hebrews points out, couldn't satisfy that. On their own, they could not satisfy that. But what those sacrifices pointed to was this sacrifice. Was this one true sacrifice that did truly remove the wrath of God due to us for our sin? In those in the Old Testament, we sometimes wonder, well, are they saved through a different way? Were they saved by actually going through the various steps that God laid out? And they weren't. Their salvation is the same as our salvation. They were saved by looking forward to what these sacrifices pointed to in that coming of the Messiah. We are saved in looking back to that sacrifice that was once and for all offered for the sins of His people. We, brothers and sisters, can come before God. We can be united to Him through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because in that sacrifice, our sin has been dealt with. And God's wrath towards us has been dealt with. He no longer looks upon us as enemies, but as sons and daughters. Now, as we consider what this sacrament is, as we consider what this Lord's Supper is, as I said, it's a sacrifice. It's a remembering of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to remember that this isn't a re-sacrifice of Jesus. It's a remembering, but it's not just a memorial. You know, we just had holiday Labor Day, and Labor Day always reminds me of Memorial Day. Because as I was growing up, school always ended before Memorial Day, and then it always started after Labor Day. So those two holidays were always joined together forever. As we consider the holiday Memorial Day, you know, we remember those who sacrificed and gave their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And that's a good thing for us to do. This isn't a memorial. It's not simply a memorial of our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life that we might have freedom in him, true freedom. This is something that we actually partake of by faith. That we actually, as we hold this bread in our hands, as we hold those cups in our hands, we are touching the sacramental symbols of Christ's body and his blood shed. And we, by faith, as we feed upon these things, as we drink from this cup, we are, by faith, feeding upon that heavenly bread that gives life. It is, by faith, a feeding upon the broken body of Christ. And it is an expression of our union to him. Think of it this way. When we eat something, what happens to it? When we drink something, what happens to it? It enters into our stomach. It is broken down, and it goes into the rest of our body. Its nutrients giving life to the very smallest cells within us. As we, by faith, feed upon this body of Christ, as we, by faith, drink from this cup that is his shed blood, it is a beautiful expression that God has given to us of the union that we have with our Lord. Where does our life come from? It comes from the bread. Where does our life come from? It comes from his shed blood. It is now a part of us. We are united to him. And we are not just united to him in his death, brothers and sisters. We are united to him by God's grace in his life. What we call his active obedience. That righteousness that he earned in his perfect obedience is truly ours, given to us by God. We aren't just united to him in his death and his life, but we are united to him in his resurrection. Those who are united to Christ, Paul says elsewhere, are new creatures. We are a new creation, raised to newness of life. We are not just united to Jesus in his life and in his death and his resurrection, but we now are looking forward to the day when that union will be consummated, it will be made complete, and we will be glorified with him forever. This is what this sacrifice, this sacrament points us to. This remembrance of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who once for all offered up his body. And so, brothers and sisters, as we partake in a moment, remember that you have been united to our Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God through faith in him, through this sacrifice, through this broken body, through this shed blood. You are united to our Lord Jesus Christ. But also remember, as Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in their second point, he says, because there was one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. In some ways, it's not easy, but it's more quickly recognized, this union that we would have with Christ through the sacrament. But it's not just an expression of our union to our Lord Jesus Christ and what we would call this horizontal or vertical relationship that we would have with our God. It's also, brothers and sisters, an expression and a reminder of what we call our horizontal union, our horizontal relationship with one another. Paul says that there is one bread. There is one bread, one body of Jesus Christ. And we who are many members of this body are one body. So it's not just simply our expression of our union to God that we partake of this morning, but in this sacrament, we are also expressing our union to one another. that we are a part of this visible church of Jesus Christ. And we are united together through this common faith and common profession in our Lord Jesus. Feel free to turn with me to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, in the last part of this chapter, he's speaking to the Ephesian elders. He's getting ready to leave the Ephesian church. And he's speaking to the elders, and he encourages them, and he says to them in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Now, this verse is written to the leadership of the church, to the elders. And it's first Paul commanding them, pay close attention to yourselves. Make sure that your lives can be set forward to the church as an example that is to be followed. You know, back in 1 Corinthians, just before or at the close of chapter 10, Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And that's what he is calling the elders of the Ephesian church to do, and what all elders of Christ's church are to be. We should be able to say to God's people, "Be imitators of me as I am an imitator of Christ." Our lives must match our profession. Pay careful attention to yourselves. But then he says, and to all the flock. And to all the flock. And he closes this verse by saying, in verse 28, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The Lord has obtained, he has purchased his church with his own shed blood. Now, in that phrase, what we can learn from that is, one, we are not isolated. We are not meant to be isolated Christians. That is not what God has called us to be. That is not what he commands us to be. He has made us a body. We are to be united together, because we have been united by him. And Christ's blood has been shed for you and for me. But it has been shed for all of his people. And that's the encouragement in those words, that Christ has shed his blood for his church, of which we are a part of. We are not in isolation. We are a community. And as you look around from week to week, as you interact with one another midweek in various Bible studies or prayer meetings or times of fellowship or discipleship groups or other social activities that you do together, let us look at one another and remember that our Lord shed his blood for that person. What does this do? What it will do is it'll set our minds to cultivate a deeper and abiding love for one another. You know, when Paul says that we are members of one body, and there are various members to that one body, I think what he is pointing out is a reality that we will all attest to, is that, you know, we have differences of opinion on things. We may butt heads from time to time on various aspects of what the church should be or what the church should do, but at the end of the day, we are all bought and paid for through the blood of Christ. And at the end of the day, we are brothers and sisters together. One body. Now, as we think about how do we express this love for one another, this passage back in 1 Corinthians is surrounded by examples that Paul gives. There's chapter 8, which deals with food that is offered to idols. And Paul says that although he could freely partake of that food that is offered to idols, because it really isn't offered to anything, yet for the sake of the conscience of those around him, not his own conscience, but for those who have issues with that, he would abstain. He also then talks about in chapter 9 about how he strives to make himself available to all people. To the Jew, he becomes a Jew. To the Greek, he becomes a Greek. So that he might strive and win just a few and save a few and be used by God to save and redeem a few. After this text in chapter 10, he again goes back to idols. And he basically says, if you're over at someone's house and they offer you food, don't ask where it came from. Just eat what's presented to you. But he does say, but if you find out it was offered to idols, his instructions are, don't partake, not for your own conscience, but for the conscience around you, that they may be, it may be a solid testimony, because they would know that you're a believer in Christ. So why would you eat meat sacrificed to another god? Now, what these examples show us is the ultimate example of what we have right here and what we'll be partaking of shortly. That is the laying down of our own lives for our brothers and sisters. The laying down of our own desires, our own selfish wishes, for the betterment and the encouragement of our brothers and sisters. It is a hard attitude exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who laid down His life and shed His blood for His people. And what we are called to, brothers and sisters, is what John the Baptist talked about in our text this morning, of having a hard attitude to meet one another's needs at a cost to us, of having a willingness to lay down our lives for one another in the various ways, shapes, and forms that may come in. It may come in a way that we might be offended by something our brother and sister does, but it isn't a sin that has been committed against us. We just don't like what was done. Let's lay our desires aside and continue to show love to our brothers and sisters. We are called to have this self-sacrificial attitude exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So as we partake of this sacrament that we are about to partake of, let us remember that we are not just proclaiming our union to our Lord Jesus Christ as we partake of this bread and we partake of this cup, but we are also proclaiming our union and fellowship with one another as the one body of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean you have to be a member of this denomination. That's not what I mean by one body. But a member of the visible church of Jesus Christ that is His visible body on earth. As we observe this sacrament, brothers and sisters, let us remember our union to one another in Christ. And so as we partake of this sacrament, it's a twofold remembrance that we're called to. It's to remember that we are united to our Lord Jesus through the breaking of His body and the shedding of His blood. But through that sacrifice, He has not only united us to Himself, but He has also united us to one another. So let us also remember that union that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the laying down of Your life. You said that no one took it from You. You laid it down willingly. And You took it up again. We thank You for the victory that we have in the broken body and shed blood of Jesus, the reconciliation that we experience to our God and not only to our God, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are all called by your holy name. May we remember these facts as we partake of this sacrament. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.